Welcome to A Bigger Table. This is a podcast where we focus on the healing by listening to stories of those who we often view as the other. This time around, we will hear from people who represent different political parties and ideologies. 2020 is a presidential election year, in case you haven't figured that out yet. We all feel the tension. All of us see the polarization of our politics. Certainly, the election of Donald Trump has shifted the discourse into a whole new realm. He's a self-proclaimed straight shooter who says it like it is and gives his opponents plenty to work with. But in the midst of all the back and forth and name-calling, are we losing something? This podcast is meant to help us hear each other. Not a time to react to something someone believes, but to hear people out, to understand how they got to the place of their politics. If we can find a common ground of understanding, maybe that can change our discourse. Ezra Klein wrote a book called Why We're Polarized. He says this: "We are so locked into our political identities that there is virtually no candidate, no information, no condition that can force us to change our minds. We will justify almost anything or anyone so long as it helps our side. And the result is a politics devoid of guardrails, standards, persuasion, or accountability." Especially as people of faith, I would say, how do we transcend the ugly name-calling and simple partisanship that keeps us from hearing and understanding the perspectives and ideas of people different than us? In another book called The Righteous Mind, subtitled Why Good People Are Divided by Politics and Religion, author Jonathan Haidt says this: "Research findings make perfect sense once you see reasoning has evolved not to help us find truth, but to help us engage in arguments, persuasion, and manipulation in the context of discussion with other people. As they put it, skilled arguers are not after the truth, but after arguments supporting their views. This explains why the confirmation bias is so powerful and so eradicable. This is why it's so important to have intellectual and ideological diversity with any group or institution whose goal is to find the truth or to produce good public policy." With this, it also gives me kind of, it makes me remember of a illustration I read in a book by author Amber Cantorna, and this explains diversity in terms of a garden. So she explains how if you step into a garden and it's all white roses, it may be beautiful for a second, but it starts to get old after a while. There isn't there isn't a blue flower, there isn't a red flower, there isn't a purple flower. There isn't plants or vines that crawl up the wall. The diversity is missing. Instead, when you walk into a garden that is filled with so many different types of plants and colors, it has such a different feeling, and you can spend hours looking at all the different plants and seeing something new. We often forget that we need each other, and we need our ideas. It is not good for our policy and our country to only have one set of ideology in control. Politics is our way of figuring out how to live together. Government is set up for the people to serve the people. Let's agree on this. There are good things the government has done, and there are bad things the government has done at the hands of both political parties. As people of faith, how do we follow the reality of God in the midst of our polarization? Could we be the place to bring healing to our country? Could we be the place that is an example to our country of what it looks like to respect and love each other, even with our differences? Refusing to treat our political opponents as evil monsters? That's the step I hope we can take as you listen to the stories of our guests. Our guests include Dave Pruitt, who proclaims himself as a conservative, Jack Lane, who is representing the Douglas County Democrats, and Wayne Harlos, who is representing Douglas County Libertarians. I've also reached out to Douglas County Republicans and Green Party and have received no communication. In this episode, you'll hear our guests discuss a step they think we can take in order to help our polarization in our politics. Please hear each person and carefully think about their thoughts. maybe you'll be surprised to find out that their position may not be that much different than yours. Please enjoy. You're first going to hear from Wayne, who is representing the Douglas County Libertarian Party. The question I asked all of our guests is, if you could take one step, you don't have to solve the whole problem, but if you could take one step towards solving our problem of polarization, what would it be? This was Wayne's answer.
I think dialogue is the best thing that we can have. Getting people involved in local politics, not national or even state politics, is very important. It gives us the opportunity. As a matter of fact, as you know, you contacted me through the Douglas County Libertarian Party, and we have a monthly meeting every month, and we invite everybody. It's a libertarian meeting, but we invite everybody. Mm-hmm. Republicans, Democrats, independents, people that have never voted before. And it gives us the opportunity to have the dialogue. And we'll always have a topic of conversation or maybe a guest speaker. Our next meeting in March will be, we'll have our legislative director that's going to talk about the pieces of legislation that have been proposed, those have been passed, and that those are that are yet to come up. If there's anything that we need to get involved with and go down to the Capitol and speak on or against some, for or against something, mm-hmm. We have that opportunity. But I think the open dialogue is the best thing that we can do. And you got to get people off the couch and out, away from their TV set where they're indoctrinated right now. Mm-hmm. If somebody watches Fox News exclusively, they're indoctrinated by the Republican philosophy. If they watch any of the other broadcasts, they're indoctrinated by the left-wing philosophy. Mm-hmm. And I find that to be unfortunate. You know, years ago, the news was subjective, not objective, mm-hmm. Where there would be a topic that was discussed, exposed, if you will, mm-hmm. and then it was up to the viewer to make their choice as to where they stood on that particular topic. That doesn't exist anymore. And so people get their news sources from indoctrination centers from either side.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunate because the dialogue is not happening and the opportunity for people to think freely is not there anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're being fed. And I talked about this actually in a sermon on Sunday that I gave, was even besides just news stations, but like your phone, like mm-hmm. Every app you use for news, like even the Apple News app, it follows the stories you click on. Right. And then it curates things to what they know you like,
right.
and what you'll click on. And so then now you're creating an echo chamber for yourself.
Right.
And now it's just all the things you agree with, and nothing feels challenging at that point. And I think we only grow through challenge. And yeah. Next, you'll be hearing from Jack Lane, who is representing the Douglas County Democratic Party.
And I think it's the conversation. By no means do I think the Democrats have all the right answers. Absolutely not. And some of my Republican friends have certain points of view about education and guns and so on, and they make good points. And so I don't think that our stick-in-the-mud position where we're not going to compromise, if we could have conversation and put both sides in a room, lock the door, and nobody's getting food or water until we have a solution, I think we would get there. Mm-hmm. I think some of the leadership in both parties is definitely broken, where they're afraid to listen. Democrats in the U.S. House of Representatives have passed over 200 bills, sent those bills to the Senate, and the Senate refuses to listen. Even take them up in committee. Mm-hmm. And that's not right. And I'm not saying that the Democrats, if they were in charge, would do anything different.
Sure.
It's a broken system. And I think some of that certainly is the leadership of the parties. But a lot of that is their constituents mm-hmm. here in Castle Rock and Highlands Ranch. We're not listening either to our neighbors. And we're sticking to our guns, if you will, and not willing to compromise, not willing to even hear good points of view.
Yeah.
So I'm not I'm all for having conversation and it being civil and people being willing to hear new points of view.
Right.
I have certain positions. I don't understand why everybody doesn't agree with me. But I learned in working, and I was the head of the laity in an Episcopal church in Virginia. And when I thought I knew everything, I knew exactly the way that we ought to approach a problem, people would then offer other opinions. And amazingly, often I was wrong. And it taught me that other people are actually smart, have opinions, and good opinions, and I need to listen to everyone. And I think that's lost on too many members of the U.S. Congress on both sides of the aisle.
Yeah. I think coming from a system, PCUSA, Presbyterian Church, our system of government is also very similar to United States system of government. And the thing I always remind myself of is that our system and the process we have and everything is only as good as the integrity of the people that are in those positions
Definitely.
To enforce
Good point.
It. Right?
Yep.
And so like when we talk about the system being broken, I think, I don't know if the system necessarily is broken, but it's the people we're putting into power are broken. And they're not using the system the way it was meant to be used, right? They found ways to change it, and so they can block things. And especially the last, probably 12 years, we've had that where one party is in power, so they're not going to look at any laws passed by the other party, and then it switches. And so then it doesn't become a democracy anymore. It just becomes authoritarian based on who's in power.
We rely too much, Jordan, on labels. So if I have a good idea about healthcare and I say I'm representing the Democratic Party, all of a sudden some other people have shut me off. And I try not to do that myself, but there are Democrats who might say, gosh, he's a Republican, they have children, I'm not going to let my children play with their children, because we get so silly and we forget how great this country is and how great our God is, and we fall into a trap of trying to defend a position rather than what's more important. The country's more important, our friendship's more important, and we become defensive and are willing to shut down conversation, and then conversation turns into argument or defensive conversation.
Right, and one thing I've been reminding people so far in 2020, we just had a Theology on Tap event on Tuesday. We do this once a month. We meet at a brewery here in town, and we have topics we talk about. Some of them are more theological, some of them are social, some of them are political. This week was immigration, because we had two women from our congregation go to the border at El Paso and Suarez, and so they shared their story. And I reminded everybody there when we closed, they said, we all have different political opinions on this and ideas of how to fix it and whatnot. I said, but as people of faith, as Christians, there should be some things that transcend our politics.
You should. Yeah,
that
absolutely.
We're not just wearing that political jersey, but instead we're seeing what God wants us to see, the bigger picture, rather than just our politics within that situation.
So what I hear from your story is we need more beer during the conversation.
Yes and no, because for some people, beer makes them more angry. So we need some kind of sedative. But
now you're going to hear from Dave Pruitt, who
doesn't affiliate himself with one party, but considers himself a conservative.
Oh gosh, the easy answer would be put me in charge.
That's always the answer, isn't it?
Yeah. But that, even that, I'm not sure would solve it. I think the only way we can start getting to where we need to be is somehow get people to talk to each other more and really listen. It's more a listening exercise to me and an education exercise. You know, we don't, in a lot of places in the country, we don't teach civics. Kids are growing up without learning anything about the base foundation of this nation. And I think that's a sad fact.
Yeah, and that keeps getting cut out of the budgets. My older brother is primarily a social studies and history teacher, and I think it's been really hard. He works at a Catholic high school right now, but he's been trying to apply to public schools, and it's gotten harder and harder for him to find a position that he can teach in.
Right.
Yeah. So, and listening well to each other, I think one of the important aspects of that would be to listen in order to learn somebody's perspective, right?
Yeah. It's like I said, I think it's an education process. I mean, I watched a lot of the recent things on television, the hearings and all, and people were throwing around the Federalist Papers right and left and talking about Federalist 57 and what Hamilton meant and what Jay meant and all of this. And the more I listened, the more I could tell these people don't have a clue what the Federalist Papers are about, because I've studied them and why they were written and who wrote them, as well as there was a complementary or not complementary set that were called the Anti-Federalist Papers. And they were all developed to try and sway public opinion toward voting for or against the Constitution. So I guess what I'm saying is people ought to make sure they know what they're talking about before they just start talking. And that's the education process I'm talking about.
Yeah. Do you think one of the things I run into as a pastor is I kind of see the same thing with politics as with the Bible. So there's many different flavors or expressions of Christianity, mm-hmm. and we all have different ways of coming at the Bible, reading it, interpreting it. Do you think that same issue is there in terms of like the Constitution and laws that are put in place that many different people are coming at with different perceptions and interpretations?
I'm a constructionist. And to me, what that means is the Constitution was put in place by the Founding Fathers, as I appreciate it, to spell out what things the government could do. And everything else belonged to the states and to the individuals. And not to spell out absolutely everything that the government was supposed to be in charge of. But I think we have to understand that was written over 200 years ago, and they couldn't anticipate the times we're living in today. At the same time, I don't think the Constitution is a living document, and any more than I think the Bible is a living document that needs to be reevaluated and reinterpreted based on the times.
Yeah, and that's good for people to understand, because so often we talk over each other. Like if somebody would come at you who thinks the Constitution's a living document, and like they just have that pre-assumption in their head that that's what it is, they're not understanding that that's not where you're coming from too. as we move ahead and we learn to listen to each other better, if we take the advice of all these men today that were interviewed, it's to listen, to have conversation, to listen to learn rather than listen to react, and really hearing each other out. I think one of the big pieces of why we're polarized, this also comes from the book Why We're Polarized by Ezra Klein. He makes a argument that our politics have become very much part of our identity. And so when things get caught up in our identity, that's when somebody else who doesn't have that same identity or think the same way you do is dangerous to you. And so remember that, especially as people of faith, our identity lies in Christ. And so therefore, Christ came to earth for all. And so all humanity is a concern for us. So they are all brothers and sisters. So in 2020, this primary election season, we may remember that we belong to each other and that we can listen to each other and that our identity is still rooted in Christ. Politics is very secondary, probably even further down the list, but where our identity lies is in Christ. The next few weeks, you're going to hear from each of these men and their views, and each episode is going to revolve around one specific view. And so we'll have one episode about libertarians, one about conservatives, and one about Democrats. And so tune in next week. Bigger Table is a Voices of a Hope podcast, which is part of New Hope Presbyterian Church in Castle Rock, Colorado. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please rate, review it, share it with your friends, and we will see you next time.